Okay, good evening. So we are continuing our summer study of the Vilna Gaon. And what we're going to discuss tonight is the way the Gra decided halacha, the way the Gra paskened halacha, specifically the work Bir HaGra, which appears on the bottom of the page of all four volumes of Shulchan Aruch. Right, most of the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch are not on all four volumes. The Taz is a notable exception, but the Gra appears on all four volumes of Shulchan Aruch. And the Bir HaGra of Elijah Kramer Vilna is a work that was written by the Gra himself. Most of the Svarim of the Gra, like we've spoken about, are written by the Gra's students. And we pointed out also that to be a student of the Gra didn't mean very much. It just meant that you showed up and you ask them a question, right? I think that's a defining deviancy down. No, if you show up, you're a student. But that is what it meant to be a student of the Gra. That's something that Reb Chaim Volozhiner himself says. So therefore, any book that's written by a student of the Gra, we have to take with some salt, with some grains of salt, because maybe it's not authentic. But the Bir HaGra on Shulchan Aruch was penned by the Gra himself. Now, we mentioned last week that the tradition has it, Reb Yisrael of Shklov, who is one of the students of the Gra, north of Pa'as HaShulchan, although Reb Yisrael of Shklov was a student of the Gra only in the last 6 months of the Gra's life, Reb Yisrael of Shklov notes that all of the Gra's writings, right, everything he put down in ink himself, Bir HaGra included, was written before he was 40 years old. As such, right, it's not the last revision of the Gra's work, because people change their mind after they're 40 sometimes, and it's very possible that the later works or what the students are saying will supersede what the Rebbe said. And that is an approach that Reb Chaim Volozhiner took and others took, which means that in terms of understanding how the Gra paskens halacha, it's not about the Bir HaGra. Bir HaGra is an early work. It's a work that, yes, he penned it himself, but maybe he changed his mind, and his students are telling us he changed his mind, so therefore that's not the last word. The Chazon Ish, however, takes the opposite approach. In the letters of the Chazon Ish in Chelek Beis, the Chazon Ish notes that he thinks the Bir HaGra on Shulchan Aruch is the Gra's real opinion. And as such, right, if you have a question as to what the Gra really held, it's the Bir HaGra, because that he wrote himself. And you have to trust what he wrote himself more than what the student said. I think we touched on this a bit last week in terms of contradictions between the Hagos of the Gra, the corrections of the Gra, and the Bir HaGra, but certainly this is relevant for now. One case in point of this issue is, do you recite Havdalah on Moshe Shabbos standing up or sitting down? The Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch quotes a Taisvis. Taisvis says that you should recite Havdalah sitting down. Because if I'm being motzi, a whole group of people, I need a kvius, I need an established grouping. And I only have a kvius if we're sitting. So the Bir HaGra writes in Shulchan Aruch, sit down when you say Havdalah. They ask Reb Chaim Volozhiner, hey dude, they probably were a little more respectful. They said, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, how come you make Havdalah when you're standing up? The minig in the Volozhin Yeshiva is that Havdalah was made standing up. And they asked Reb Chaim, you're a student of the Gra, sit down like your Rebbe wrote in the Bir HaGra. Reb Chaim Volozhin answered, I saw my Rebbe make Havdalah, and he did it standing up. Now that's an amazing thing. Assuming that Reb Chaim Volozhin is not a liar, or didn't misremember, right? The fact is that Reb Chaim of Volozhiner is saying that the Bir HaGra is not the last word even on what the Gra did. The Bir HaGra is what? It's what the Gra said at that time, but it's not the last word in what the Gra did. And actually, if we'll look in the introduction of Reb Chaim of Volozhiner, we'll see his understanding of what the Bir HaGra is. This is the Reb Chaim Volozhin's own introduction to the Bir HaGra. Ki rabim kashlu lefrok me'aleihem ol yigias limud hashas lehotzi mimenu halachos. There are many people who are negligent and are throwing off of themselves the burden of studying Shas in order to derive halachos. Va'omrim, ki halimud l'maisa hu rak limud ha-shulchan aruch. These people say that if you want to learn practical halacha, all you do is you learn Shulchan Aruch. Va'afim lomdim hashas, inam lomdim el lechadeid haseichel. When they learn Gemara, they do so to sharpen the mind. Lechadeid haseichel. V'yeshem aznichen es ha-talmud ligamrei, u'mistapkin belimud ha-Shulchan Aruch levad. There are some who don't learn any Gemara whatsoever. All they learn is Shulchan Aruch. Zoktib Chaim Valoshener, V'lo zehu haderech ha-yishara shechananu Hashem bina l'dalos mimamke divrei hashas. Chaim Valoshener says, this isn't the straight path. God gave us intelligence in order to understand Gemara. Wow. That's it. Right? V'chol hama'ayin b'chibur zeh, and anyone who looks in this chibur, who looks at this writing, this work, the Bir Hagra, this is the introduction to the Bir Hagra, anyone who looks in this work, the Bir Hagra, yir'eh, shezu darko sh'rabinu ha-gadol, lo'orer u'la-hazkir b'limet ha-shulchan aruch es mekoro min ha-shas. So what's Reb Chaim Volozhiner saying? The Gro's job when he writes Bir Hagra is not to decide halacha. No? Isn't that amazing? Bir Hagra is not a halacha text. Bir Hagra is what? It's a source sheet. Right? I'm learning Shulchan Aruch. The Gro is opposed to people who are just learning Shulchan Aruch. He wants them to go back to the real book, to the Gemara. So you know what he does? He jots down little notes on the Shulchan Aruch. Look at the Gemara in Chulin over here, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah over here. Right? So what am I going to do? I can't use the Bir Hagra on its own. The Bir Hagra is not a work that you could take into your bed at night and read before you go to sleep. Or more likely, you try to read it, you will certainly fall asleep. The job of the Bir Hagra is to tell us there are Gemaras out there, and Chevra Davman learning Gemara. You gotta learn Gemara. And how do I make sure that you learn Gemara? By jotting down where all the Gemaras are. That's what Chaim Volozhiner is saying. It's not the Halacha text. Very, very important here, early. So the Shulchan Aruch, remember, Rabbi Yosef Karo dies in the year 1576. The Shulchan Aruch is widely disseminated after he dies. All the major commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch have been in place already, right? The Shach lived 1621 until 1662. The Taz died in the year 1676. The Gruz first born in 1720. Right? So all the major commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch are out there. The major commentaries of the Shulchan Aruch are being learned. People are studying Shulchan Aruch. And the Gra apparently is saying, you know what? I don't want people to just study Shulchan Aruch. No? I want them to encounter the Gemara. How do I make sure they'll encounter the Gemara? Oh, I'll tell you what we'll do. In order to make sure they encounter the Gemara, I'm going to jot down notes which will force you to look at the Gemara. And once you're looking at the Gemara, you'll open it up and then you'll learn it. So I don't think the Reb Chaim of Volozhiner is saying necessarily, I don't think he's saying that Bir Hagra is a halacha work. Or it's not a halacha work in the terms of halacha lamaisa. It's not telling us what to do. Bir Hagra is giving us Gemaras. And the Gemaras are there to inspire us to study and to learn. That's the goal. So far, so good?
Well, so let's go back to the example of Hadalah.
Yeah.
Does he just point to a source?
So he points to a source. He says, look in Brachas Daf Mem Gimel, Tosfos Shom, V'chein Iker. Right? And he says V'chein Iker means he seems like he's deciding. Right? Right? Simple reading is that he's paskining. But what Reb Chaim of Volozhiner is telling us is that, yeah, the Gro writes V'chein Iker to sit by Havdalah, but he himself stood. Right? That's a very... By the way, this I found in Betzalel Landau's book, Hagon HaChosin Mivilna, Right? On pages 70 through 76 and 313 to 318, he deals with the Bir HaGruah. In a footnote somewhere on those pages, he quotes this idea. I think it's interesting. Fine. Now, yeah, David. In tracing the source.
Of Halakha from the Gemara. But that doesn't, I mean, you know, if he thought things in Shulchan Aruch is wrong, it doesn't mean he's not going to say so.
So the Gemara certainly does say when things in Shulchan Aruch are wrong. I'm just putting this episode of Reb Chaim Volozhiner and the Havdalah together with what he writes in this introduction. And what emerges, Acharei Kechlos HaKol, is that the Bir HaGruah, I'll say it like this, it's not the final Halakha work. Right? Now, the Bir HaGruah is clearly a work of halacha, but it's not a work of halacha in the sense of, if I want to know what to do, I could take out a Mishnah Berurah, I could take out a Shulchan Aruch with a Shach and read it, and I'll know what to do, pretty much. The Bir HaGruah is not a book that I could take out and I'll know what to do. I take it out, then I have to start thinking and working. So it doesn't tell me what to do. It's kind of a... It's not a well-written code. If it's a code of law, it's a really badly written code. Is that a fair point? Fine. Should we go on? Now, just a bit of history about the Bir HaGruah that's worth noting. By the way, much about the Gruah and the Bir HaGruah is written in the journal Yeshurun, which comes out of the west side of Manhattan. In the journal Yeshurun, volumes 4, 5, and 6, are dedicated to the Gruah. There are two really good articles. One is written by Rabbi Petrover, the other is written by Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Havlin. Two excellent articles about the Gruah. There's a third article written by Rav Shesha, which is also a very fine, nice article about Seder HaTatasam Shel Bir HaGruah, the way it was printed. And there's an interesting history about the printing of the Bir HaGruah. Story goes like this. The Gruah, and again, according to tradition, this is all before he is 40 years old, the Gruah had notebooks. And the Gruah jotted down notes in his notebooks. The first notebook of the Gruah went through all four volumes of Shulchan Aruch, right? There's Orech Chaim, about daily life, there's Yoredeh, which is about Kashrus, etc. There's Evan HaEzer, about marriage and divorce, and Choshen Mishpah, which is about monetary law. The Gruah went through all four volumes of the Shulchan Aruch, and he jotted down sources. That's in the first volume. That's the first Bir HaGruah. Then there are three additional notebooks, which are called Likutim, which are gatherings. If you open up a Bir HaGruah in Yerideya in particular, you'll see there's a comment and it says Likut. Likut means it's from one of these subsequent notebooks. The original printing of Bir HaGruah was the same year as the Louisiana Purchase, 1803. Right? In 1803, the Bir HaGruah in Orech Chaim comes out. And it came out by the sons of the Gruah. They put out their father's work. And in the Bir HaGruah of Orech Chaim, they decided that they'll do us a favor. So they take all four notebooks and they put it together in one paragraph. Well, this became a big source of issue. If you look in the Alios Eliyahu, which is the book, I don't think I printed this part out for you, but we'll talk about the other stuff on the source sheets when we get there. But if you look in the Alios Eliyahu in the back, Alios Eliyahu is like we spoke about, it's the hagiography of the Gruah. It came out in 1856 by Yeshua Hirsch Levin. In the back, he has something called Alias Kir, which is about the writings of the Gruah. So he writes, V'ra'isi l'ha'ir, ki ha'chalokim ha'rishonim, lo tov osa ha'motzi ha'davar la'ar, she'sidram yachad ha'likutim in guf ha'bir b'chol makom, Ki'ilu chibram yachad mitchila. They did something bad when they put it together. Lefa'amim yitzei mizeh bilbul b'loshon b'kavona. And he gives an example from Simon Tafresh Dalid in Orech Chaim, where he just like, it makes no sense in the original printing because he put everything together. The subsequent printings, especially in the Machon Yerushalayim printing, they clearly distinguish even in Orech Chaim. But in the earlier printings, the distinction is not as clear. In the subsequent printings, they began to distinguish between the various notebooks. Now, the Gruah had an approach to studying halacha, which even if the Bir Hagra isn't his final word, but it's clear that the methodology that the Gro is using is as such. How do I decide halacha? This is a question of, are there any constitutional lawyers here? No? Okay. So there is a big machlekes in constitutional law. Actually, I dozed off tonight before I came here, so I forgot to ask my wife the exact terms. But I believe that one of the questions in constitutional law is original intent, right, versus how it's subsequently decided in the courts. If I have a line in the Constitution, do I try to figure out by reading the Federalist Papers, let's say, what Hamilton and, right, et cetera, and Jefferson had in mind? Or do I say, you know what? It doesn't matter what they had in mind, per se. What matters is the way this line has been interpreted through the generations and come down to us. Right? Those are two different schools of understanding the law. Now, in halacha also, there are two different ways of going about paskening a shaila. I could go about paskening a shaila, right, when someone sticks a milchik spoon into a fleshik pot. I could go about paskening the shaila by taking out an English language text written, let's say, by Rabbi Binyamin Forst, and I look in the back and I see milchik spoon and fleshik pot, page 88, open it up, read it, great. Right? That's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is that I don't just open up the most recent text that came out, but what I do is I go back to the basics. And I open up a Gemara, and then I open up the Smak, and then I go through the whole sugya about milchik spoons and fleshik pots until I come up with my answer, right? Two different ways of answering a shaila. Again, we're simplifying, obviously. But these two schools of thought are really relevant in terms of how we paskin shailas in general. Look at the introduction of the Rambah in the Darkei Moshe. Right? The Rambah is Rabbi Moshe Isserles. He was born either in 1525 or in 1530, but he died in 1572. Well, let that dawn on you for a second. That means that the Rambah died possibly at age 42. The man was prolific, right? The Rambah is unbelievable. Ashkenazi Judaism is based on Rambah. No? B'nei Yisrael Yotzim, B'yad, Rambah. Right? That's the basic thing. So the Rambah writes in his introduction that he has four reasons to oppose the way this book that came out before him, called the Beis Yosef, is written. Beis Yosef is a halacha text, no? And the Rambah says, I don't like that halacha text, I'm writing my own. Why? Reason number three. Hashlishit v'hu ha'ikar. This is the main reason. V'hu ha'tachlis ha'mevukash b'zeh ha'mechkar. And this is the purpose that we are seeking in this investigation. Ki yadua. Sh'arav ha'mechkar Beis Yosef b'tiv'o el ha'gedolim nechsach. Right? The Beis Yosef naturally is drawn towards the greats. Upasak halacha b'chol makom al pi shnei u'shlosha edim heima haga'inim hanechmadim rif Rambam Rosh b'chol makom sheshnei meham ladas achas nitzmadim u'lesh'ar avos adir ha'Torah lo chash aleihem. Basically, the Beis Yosef has an approach to passing halacha that look at the greats, three greats, Rambam, Rif, and Rosh, and whenever two of those three agree, so that's how I paskin the halacha, but he ignores l'sha'ar rab vasa adirei ha-Torah. He ignores the other great rabbis. Rak b'makom gedolim amad lifsok halacha k'debeshnehem. The Rabbi Yosef Karo, the mechaber, is only b'makom gedolim. He only cares about the real greats. V'afkihim kamoi v'lo basroi. V'lo chosh l'dvarim sh'tzavku po kamoi de kamoi. Hello, Harif Shapasak Sof Perk Basra de Irivin, Viskimo Imo Rabim Lipsak Halacha Bachomakom, Kibasroi, Velo Lachosh, Lidivre Kamoi. In other words, the Beis Yosef is trying to pass in the Shaila based on two out of the three greats, earlier sources. He's ignoring the later sources. And the Beis Yosef is ignoring the fact that we should decide Halacha based on the rule of Hilchasa Kibasra. You paskin like the latest source. And the Rambam says, this is how we should paskin halacha, no? By the way, one of the current issues going on in Judaism in terms of open orthodoxy and their approach to halacha or not, a lot of the conversation revolves around these issues. Like the women and tefillin issue, which I'm not discussing now, right? And it might not be an open orthodox issue at all. It might have just been a local issue in one school. All understood. But at the same time, part of the question is, do I pass in a shayla based on the latest sources? I take out a Mishnah Berurah, and the Mishnah Berurah says women shouldn't wear tefillin. But if I start from the earliest sources, from the Gemara, and I go through the sugya, and I say, hey, right? Nishta zay geferlach, right? No? I could go back to, even though Ashkenazi practice is clearly that women didn't wear tefillin, but if I go back to the earlier sources, I can find precedent. Micha bas Shaul, Erevin daf tzadi vav, she wore tefillin, no? The Ramah tells us, standard Ashkenazi methodology of Psak Halacha is like this. Hilchasa Kibasra. You follow the latest source. Now, there's always a problem with this type of approach, which is what? There are two issues that are problematic. One is the philosophical question that we believe, of course, the Torah is given at Har Sinai. So it should be that the earliest people have a closer connection to Sinai and are more likely to be right rather than the latest people. No? But Yiridas Hadoros, the decline of the generations, doesn't make sense in the Hilchos HaKibasra formula. Right? Because if generations are getting weaker, why should I pass like the latest source? And also, passing like the latest source also has an inherent problem, which is that you're always going to be outdone. At the moment you publish your text, next guy comes, he publishes his text, and then you are obsolete, no? OBS in the Oxford English Dictionary, right away. So now, this is a problem. But the Ramah says, that's how I paskin. It was a machlekes between the Maharik and the Maharam al-Shaker, right? Whether, how we apply the principle of Hilchasa Kibasra. The Maharam al-Shaker felt that Hilchasa Kibasra only applies when it's a Rebbe against his Talmud. That Rebbe versus Talmud, the assumption is that the student is brazen enough to argue on the Rebbe, knowing what the Rebbe said, passing like the student. But when I'm talking about 3-4 generations removed, all bets are off. No Hilchasa Kibasra. Right? This is the Psak of the Ramah, and I think this is standard Ashkenazi methodology in Psak Halacha. This is the Aleph phase. But the Gra is the exact opposite, no? However I read the Gra, the fact is what the Gra's methodology in Psak Halacha is, I give you a Gemara. Earliest source! That's most relevant. The earliest source. That means I'm paskening based on what the constitutional lawyers would call original intent, right? I'm paskening based on the spoons in the fleshic pot, and I'm opening up a Gemara, and maybe even before the Gemara, maybe even the Mishnayis and the Tosefta and the Midrashei Halacha, maybe even the Psukim, right? The Gra, by the way, his scope of sources that are considered primary sources is very big, but the Gra is ignoring Hilchasa Kibasra. That is a very important issue. There is a great article by Yisrael Toshma, who's a scholar in Israel. I believe he died this past year. Yisrael Toshma, in the Shnaton LeMishpat HaEvri, volume 6 and 7, Yisrael Toshma maintains as follows. Toshma says that there is another expression that is common in rabbinic literature, but actually has origins in non-Jewish sources, which is midgets standing on the shoulders of giants. Now, the expression of midgets on the shoulders of giants is a nice way of dealing with this question. How could I paskin like the latest generation, right, when the previous generation is supposed to know more? The previous generation are closer to Har Sinai. The answer is, midget,
on shoulder of giants. No? I am what I am based on them. And that expression is found in the Tosfos Rid, in the Tshuvas, right? This all Toshma outlines. Actually, Schneur Lyman in Tradition Volume 27 has an article about this as well, about midgets on the shoulders of giants. That's part of the expression, that's part of this conversation, Gra versus the rest of the world. Now, it seems to me, just Leman HaEmes, I had a, I presented a, at a conference in the University of Pennsylvania Law School. My friend Chaim Seyman is like a professor in University of Pennsylvania Law School. So he had a conference about how halacha works. So I presented over there because I teach halacha a little bit. So my argument was that the Gra's approach to halacha, that we follow the earliest source, was never done l'maisa. Maybe the Gra did what, maybe, perhaps, I'm not 100% sure if it's consistent, but the fact is, l'maisa wasn't done. And one of the proofs might be the fact that Dr. Sarah Rieger's grandfather had a job. Okay, in Brisk. Brisk is the intellectual descendants of the Gra. Reb Chaim models himself after the Gra. Did Reb Chaim paskin shaylos? Nada na zilch. Why not? Right, Reb Chaim had Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger, Dr. Rieger's grandfather, paskin shaylos. Why is that? I'll tell you why. The reason is because if I use a methodology of original source, and I go back and I try to figure out what Hamilton and Jefferson really meant, or what the Gemara really meant, I'm going to overturn hundreds and thousands of years of precedent, and Torah is going to look really, really different, possibly. And that's a dangerous thing. Right? The Hilchos HaKibasra approach of saying I follow the latest source means that I have a clear trajectory, a clear line, because each source, right, is based on the previous one, etc. So that is our normal Masorah of Paskening the Shaila. I think I think a lot of the contemporary issues are also connected to this. Yeah, question.
Would the Gra's approach apply to anybody, like a layman, or was it just something maybe for...
So obviously, the Gra's the Gra. The Gra had complete shlita on all Torah sources. But one could argue, and here, look in the Aliyos Aliyos letter Samach Beis. It's on the sheet. Okay, this is, again, Rabbi Yeshua Herschel Levine, quoting from students of the Gra Ukvar, who's Harfi Bazem, Yipi Moiv, Rabbi Hagona, Kodesh Yisrael, Rabbeinu Hagona, Chosid, Moreinu Eliyahu, Nishmato Eden Mivilna, Shelo Lisa Panim Bahora'a, Af Lahachros Rabboseinu Balei HaShulchan Aruch. Lo Lisa Panim means, don't show any favoritism. Just because the person who issued this psak is holy righteous man, long white beard, looks the part, lowly sapanim. If you think it's wrong, passing your way. No? Now that is obviously going against the precedent idea. Part of the Hilchos HaKibasra approach is saying, listen, if previous generations, I'm not so bold to think that I'm the only one who found this Gemara. Miss Dama, the Rama also knew the Gemara. Right? And how did he get out of it? I don't know. But the Rama is probably a smart Jew, and he had some way of getting out of the Gemara, so I'll defer to his opinion. No? The Gra is not doing that. The Gra is original source, my understanding. So far, so good? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to really know what you're doing. But again, any person I could... Loli sapanam b'halacha, I think, would mean that any person who really masters a sugya and feels, this is how I understand it. Okay? Right? Okay. You know, if you're entitled to... The way Rav Shachar says is that you have to be entitled to an opinion. But if you're entitled to an opinion, that's fine. Now, this question, by the way...
Well, Toshma points on his article, this question relates to an understanding of a pasuk in Koheles. Al tomar mehaya shehayamim harishonim hayutovim me'ele kilo mechokma sha'alta alzeh. Don't say that the earlier days were greater than they are now. Now, the question of Rina Koheles always is, does he mean it? Is he cynical? Right? And the Rishonim seem to disagree about this point, and that's what Toshma points out. Mahari Kran, Rashi seem to disagree about how to understand this pasuk. That do I really assume that the earlier days were greater than they are today, and therefore defer? Or do I say no? But again, and part of the enlightenment idea is that there is an improvement of knowledge, and today we know a lot more than they did beforehand, right? So I don't have to defer to previous generations, etc. That's all part of this conversation. Yes?
God showed Moshe Rabbeinu
every generation. Yeah.
And he couldn't understand a word that Rabbi Akiva was saying.
And then the Gemara concludes that they ask, that Moshe Rabbeinu, that they ask, Rebbe, how do you know these things? That's Rabbi Akiva. So he says, Salacha la Moshe Misinai, and they oznis karira daito. So what do we do with that, right? That's a very, very important thing. It's all part of how we understand that source, I think, is a very important question. We could probably discuss that at length, but I'm just trying to note that the Gra's approach to halacha at first glance, or the simple understanding of the Gra's approach to halacha, is that it's completely at odds with the Hilchos HaKabbasra ethic. Now, there's another way of dealing with this, and this is a point that came out at that conference. So I think Christine Hayes, who actually is not... She's a professor in Yale. So she made this point that maybe what the Gra's doing is just what lawyers call the rule of recognition. The rule of recognition means something like this, that how do I know a law is binding? I know a law is binding because it was originally issued by a good source. Rule of recognition. If I recognize the original source, I know that it's a good source, respect it. So far, so good? Now, one could argue that what the Gra is doing is not saying that analysis of this original source would determine the halacha, but he's saying this is the rule of recognition. I'll give you a source, because unless I know the origin of this law, mehecha tesi, it's a law. How do you know that this law is a real law? So the answer is chulin kufches. The answer is, I have a daf, I have a gemara, I have a medrash halacha, I have a pasuk, I have some original source. But not necessarily, now, I think that's a very unconventional understanding of the Gra. I think the assumption is that the Gra is really disagreeing with the Rambam's approach of Hilchos HaKabbasra, but it is something to focus on. Yeah. So is that what Reb Chaim Volozhiner means? Is Reb Chaim Volozhiner, when he says in his Hakdama that the Gra is upset that people aren't learning Gemara, why is that? One could argue that Reb Chaim Volozhiner is making an educational standpoint. Remember, he's trying to establish a yeshiva in Volozhiner. He wants people to learn, no? So one approach is, I'll get you to learn Gemara. Alternatively, he could be saying, you know what, this is just my rule of recognition, right? That you have to recognize where it comes from. It comes from the Gemara, or else the law falls apart, right? I'm more inclined the first way, just because I grew up thinking of it that way, but it's what to think about. Fine, let's go on. The Gra is very bold. The Gra will disagree with the Shulchan Aruch all the time. He'll disagree with Rishonim. The Chazon Ish, in one of his letters, argues that the Gra had the status of a Rishon himself. It's kind of a sleight of hand. What the Chazon Ish is saying is that the Gra is unbelievable, and he is misplaced in his generation. He really lived intellectually in the 13th century. He just was born in the 18th century. Right? That's what the Chazon Ish is saying about the Gra. Now, part of the Gra's genius, and giving all these sources, and the difficulty in the work of the Bir HaGra,
is that it's a very dry book. No? You can't, like we said before, you can't just pick it up and read it. You need a full library with you when you're reading B'ar HaGra'ah, because you have to look at all the sources that he is quoting. And the B'ar HaGra'ah probably was not disseminated very well. Or if it was disseminated, the same way that writings like of Rebbe Yoshev are disseminated. What I mean is like this. Everyone knows that Rebbe Yoshev was a Goyin Olam. So a new Sefer Rebbe Yoshev comes out. What you do is you go to this farm store, you buy it, and you put it on the shelf. And you leave it on the shelf. No? But you're not going to use it. It's not a usable work. But you have it because it's the Goyin. You have it because it's Rebbe Yoshev. You have it, right? That is probably what's going on. Ad Hayom Hazeh, I don't think the B'ar HaGra'ah on Shulchan Aruch is a text that is used when we study Shulchan Aruch in a regular sort of way. I taught Yeridei all year in Yeshiva. Okay? I looked through my notes today. How many B'ar HaGra'ahs did I quote all year? Probably 10. Not more. How many Shachs? Hundreds. How many Tazes? Hundreds. Right? Rebbe Kiva Eger, I probably quoted more than the B'ar HaGra'ah. I'll quote an occasional B'ar HaGra'ah when he says something that's cool, different, interesting. He adduces a different source to a din that is well known. And maybe we could be mefalpe on that source. For example, right, there's a halacha in Yerideya of Zeya that the steam of a substance has the halachic qualities of that substance. I should have put this on the source sheet, I just didn't. The Zeya idea, right, is if I have milk steam, it's milchig. And if I have my salami hanging on top of my pot of milchig steam, so my salami becomes treif, no? My kalim become treif from the steam. This is the whole issue in the ovens. That's the din of Zeya. Usually, the source for Zeya that's given, the Beis Yosef quotes it from a Tshuvas HaRosh, that the Rosh derives it from a Mishnah in Machshirin about Zeyas Mashkim as Kamashkim. Right? It's a Mishnah in Machshirin about Tuma and Tahara, and that's a source of Zeya. The Vilna Gaon, however, quotes, I have a different source. The other source is like this. There's a case that a drop of milk falls into a pot and lands on a piece of meat. If the milk hits that one piece of meat, that one piece of meat is going to become treif. If I stir it right away, so then I can mix that drop of milk into the entire pot, and then there's going to be more than 60 times of meat vis-a-vis the drop of milk, and then it's going to be kosher. And the Gemara tells me that there's two ways of doing that. There is ni'er v'kisa. I could stir it right away, or I could cover the pot right after the drop of milk fell. Nier v'kisa. If I cover the pot right away, it's also okay. Zukt Rashi on kisa, when I cover the meat, when I cover the pot, Rashi says that the steam will go up to the pot cover and will diffuse over the entire pot. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's the source of Zeya in Halacha. How do you know that the steam is halachically significant? Oh, the steam is halachically significant because of that din of Nier V'kisa, covering the pot, and there's going to be steam, and that will go all over the place. That's how you know it's significant. Now, that's a different source than anyone else quotes. It's a brilliant source. It's an interesting application. And maybe there's some differences in terms of the quality of the steam. The quality of the steam in the pot is probably much thicker than the quality of the steam in the bathhouse in the Mishnah in Machshirin, but that's something that the Gra does. But the fact is, there are not that many Gras that I quoted all year when we taught Yerideya. Because the Gra is just not such a major player in the Yerideya. It's too hard, even for Smicha students, even in YU. It's too hard to really get to the bottom of the B'ar HaGra'ah. Now, the spread of the B'ar HaGra'ah was probably relatively slow. Reb Chaim Voloshiner himself is quoted in the Aliyos Eliyahu as saying that there's a need for a super commentary on the B'ar HaGra'ah. You need a commentary to explain what the Gra means. And we have some of these commentaries out there today. No, there's a book, Domestic Eliezer, published at the end of the 19th century, a commentary on the Bir HaGrav. Maran HaRav Kook wrote a sefer, Ba'er Eliyahu, a commentary on the Bir HaGrav Choshen Mishpat. But there's a few other sfarim of commentaries of the Gra that are coming out today. But the Gra was certainly not used as a mainstream halacha text. And Ad HaYom HaZeh, it's not really used. The Mishnah Berurah used the Gra a lot. But until Mishnah Berurah came around, when Jews were paskening based on Chaya Adam, Jews were paskening, that was the Chaya Adam was a standard work that was used. And the Chaya Adam is a mechutna of the Gra. A standard work that's used in Europe, Rabbanim teach Chaya Adam between Mincha and Ma'ariv, no? That's what my grandfather said. So the fact is, right, the Chaya Adam will quote the Gra, they're related, but most often he'd quote the Gra and he would disagree with him. But people said Chaya Adam, sapasnished. You can't disagree with the Gra. Not that they understood what the Gra is saying, but Azah Heligan mentioned the Gra, how can you disagree with him? How can you disagree with the Gra? So the Chaya Adam, in his book Chaya Adam, quotes the Gra, and he disagrees with it, most often when he quotes the Gra. And his book Chochmas Adam, which he wrote in Yerideya, he doesn't quote the Gra. And he wrote in the introduction to the Chochmas Adam. Now this introduction to the Chochmas Adam was printed in the first edition of the Chochmas Adam, was not subsequently printed. Okay? And now in the newest editions it came out again. But let's read what the Chaya Adam, Chochmas Adam, Rabbi Avraham Danzig writes. By the way, I should correct something. The first time I quoted Chochmas Adam in the shir here, I mentioned that he was not a rabbi, he was a businessman. So someone wrote a note on the shir on YU Torah that, yes, he was a businessman, but in later life he was appointed as a dayan on the Beis Din in Vilna because he actually knew stuff. So they appointed him as a dayan. So I stand corrected, and I thank whoever that person is for making that correction. V'hine, zok l'Chochmas Adam. In this work, you are not going to find words of the Goyin. Vuhu, Lesibas, Kishamati, Dirabim, I forgot exactly the words. Dirabim hamisramim alai, Sheisakti alav be'ezem komos. I heard that many people have tainas on me. Many people are complaining that I corrected the Gra in many places, bechiburi chaya adam. Ubilti suffik, ki amisramim lo yadu derech haposkim. Shezet derech torasenu hakadosha, zebon evizol selser. Those people have complaints on me, that I'm arguing on the Gra. They don't understand that that's the way we learn Torah. We argue with people. That's what makes it fun, no? This guy builds, this guy knocks it down. Vilichtov devarav, avim lo yinirim li, ze lo uchal, to write ideas which I disagree with. That I can't do. V'lachein, achazdi b'midas hashtika. L'chaz yatzul nasam alai. Therefore, I decided to be quiet, not to quote the Gra anymore. V'heim asidim l'itein asidin. And these fellows who are complaining, how come I argue on the Gra so much? They're going to suffer. Ki manu nachasruch l'hagra l'falpo v'dvar. Because they are taking away the enjoyment that the Gra would have in Olam HaEmes when people v'falpo v'dvar. Right? When people are discussing his words. Beautiful Chaya Adam. Beautiful introduction over here. But what emerges from this? What emerges is that Jews, who I presume did not really understand the Gra, but it could... How could you argue with the Gra? What are you doing? So the Chaya Adam says, of course you can argue with the Gra. That's the whole approach of Torah. You're supposed to... Zebon Evazel Soser, no? But at the same time, he says, too many tainas on me, I can't do it. Again, contemporary world is very much like this, right? Reb Chaim Kanievsky Paskin, what? How can you do it? What do you mean? Like, he passed me based on the Taisvis. I don't think that's what the Taisvis means. I don't think that's such a problem to say. But there's certain things that you should know you can't say. You can't say. Now, I should make two other points here, and then maybe we'll break because it's getting late. Eliyahu Stern wrote this book called The Genius, no? I've been using it, and he has an interesting take on the Gra, and on the Bir HaGra specifically, which is relevant for tonight. What Stern argues is as follows.
The Gra is responsible for establishing modern Judaism. The Bir HaGra. You see, modern Judaism means that instead of a kehila structure, which is all top-down, we have a yeshiva structure, which is open for everyone. And the yeshiva structure is all about learning Gemara. And how did people get into learning Gemara? Well, they got into learning Gemara because the Bir HaGra is so Gemara-focused, so everyone is learning Gemara, so that is how the yeshiva system developed. It's an interesting idea, but as the, like we spoke about earlier with Hilchos HaKabbasra, the reviewers of books have the last word, and the reviewers of the books are the ones who are generally right. No? Isn't that standard approach? So in the book reviews of Eli Stern, there's a book review in Hakira Journal, which comes out, some nice guys in Flatbush basically put out this journal called Hakira. So in the Hakira Journal, Eliyahu Krakowski. Somehow everyone's named Eliyahu tonight. There's Eliyahu Kramer of Vilna, Eliyahu Stern, who wrote this book called The Genius, and Eliyahu Krakowski, who wrote the book review. So Krakowski is a guy in YU. So Krakowski basically points out a few very disturbing things. First of all, Stern's take on the Bir HaGra, he's just misunderstanding a few Bir HaGras. That's okay. That's one issue. But moreover, to argue that the Gra is responsible for the modern yeshiva, that assumes that people were not studying Gemara until the Bir HaGra came out. Right? People were studying codes. And as Stern argues, codes like Shulchan Aruch, the Gra was opposed to the study of codes. That's Stern's argument. And he wrote the Bir HaGra to oppose codes, to get people back to primary texts. And that's how yeshivas developed. Well, this is probably not true. Because first of all, people were studying Gemara before the Gra. The Pnei Yehoshua, three fat volumes on Shas. Pnei Yehoshua lived from 1740 until 1810. All the Pnei Yeshuas were printed before the Bir HaGra was printed. Bir HaGra was printed 1803 first. Right? All the Pnei Yeshuas were printed beforehand. Pnei Yeshua is a standard work. All of the Sfarim that came out, the Ktzais, the Nesivis, they are all coming out at this time. People are getting into the study of Gemara. Ktzos is officially a book in Shulchan Aruch. But anyone who's learned Ktzos knows it's about Gemara. It's not about Shulchan Aruch. What drives the Ktzos? What drives the Ktzos is the fact that now we have new Sfarim. We have Rishonim that we didn't have beforehand. And I can look at the Gemara from a different way. So I can say, oh, there's a Ritva who understands Kinyan Pes and Kinyan Aguf this way. That totally changes everything. No? Gemara study is not because of the Bir HaGra. People were studying Gemara before the Bir HaGra. And can I tell you something? No one studied the Bir HaGra in the yeshivas. No one studied Bir HaGra. No one studies Bir HaGra. It's not done. The Gra is a Goyin Olam. And like the Chaya Adam is saying, you can't argue against the Gra. Because how can you argue? The Gra, the Halakha Gra. Of course. Of course the Halakha Gra. But at the same time, right? First of all, you can argue. Second of all, no one is studying it. The reason, the revolution of learning Gemara is not because of the Gra, it's because all these new Sfarim, that's a point that Elchanan Reiner makes in some of his articles, all the new Sfarim that were printed enable people to look at Gemaras with a different set of eyes. You don't have to use pilpul. Pilpul is a very hard term to define. Pilpul is the way they used to study, which means that everyone assumes everyone else's assumptions. I'll say it like that. What that basically means is, well, Tosis has an assumption based on this Gemara like that, and the Rashba presumably held like Tosis because Tosis' assumption makes so much sense. So how come the Rashba didn't say that? And, right, all of those, right, that's like the pilpul approach in a very condensed sort of way. Everyone's assuming everyone else's assumptions. But the idea of learning Gemara to derive halacha out of it began before the Gra. The Gra may have championed it, but it began before the Gra. The learning of Gemara was certainly very popular. Moreover, Stern's argument that the Gra was opposed to codification, the Gra did not want a code, he felt everything has to be based on primary sources, is against what the Gra's sons write. Let's look at this top source on the top of the page. Shtayim zu shamati, this is the introduction that the Gra's sons wrote to Shulchan Aruch. Shtayim zu shamati mipiv HaKadosh v'Tahar. Shelo hiskima imo das kono v'lo asa. Okay, there are two things I heard from the Gra's holy mouth that God did not agree with, and therefore the Grud didn't do it. La'ezeknaso sha'alti oso, pa'amin rabos, madua lo noso la'eretz ha'kadosha. Right, we already spoke about this, right? By the way, Shlomo Zalman Havlin, his article in that Yeshurun journal that I referenced earlier, he points out that the simple reading of this text is that the Grud didn't go to Israel. Right? Traditionally, we say the Grud went to Israel and he came back. Right? Because, right, he had a chumash that fell down and the Pasuk said, Voltavar Sayardin Hazeh, so therefore he knew not to go. Right? That's the tradition. But one could read this text that the Grud never went to Eretz Yisrael. That's one question that they wanted to ask. Second issue. V'chein hevtiach li sheya'ase piskei halachos me'arba turim midas machra'as lichtov rakdeya echad ha'yishara be'enei chachmaso v'rayos chazokos v'atzumos she'ein l'hashev aleihem. Right? He also, the Grud promised me that the Grud would make a work of halachos from all four volumes of Shulchan Aruch, midea machra'as, from absolute, right, convincing arguments. And he would side with one position, with strong proofs. And you can't, she'ein l'hashem, I can't ask on these proofs. So I asked the Gra, how come you didn't do this? You promised! You promised you'd write a book of all of your halachos, all the funny halachos of the Gra, like making a mezonos and rice and stuff like that. Funny halachos of the Gra, that's overturning normative Judaism. Right? How come you didn't write it down? V'heishiv li pam echad, ein li rishos min hashamayim. Okay? So the Gra's response about both why he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael and why he didn't write this book of halachos of the Gra is, right, the Eibishter erlosnisht. God didn't allow me to do it. No? Now, what does that mean? So, I have no idea. That's one thing. But what I do know is that the Gra wanted a code. Right? He wanted a book of halachos. But for me, Ezesi Bashahi, he didn't get it. So, that means that you can't say the Gra is opposed to codification. I think Eliyahu Krakowski, in his review of Ellie Stern, is very right about this. You can't assume that the Gra, you can't assume that the Gra is writing, and that is what causes the development of yeshivas, etc. I just think that that type of writing, that argument, is very, very difficult. A few other points just about the Bir HaGra, very quickly. These are all points that are made by Petrover in his article in that Yeshurun journal, etc. The Gra is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. Yes, I give you a few examples how the Gra is commenting on Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes he's asking the same questions on Shulchan Aruch that everyone else asks, but he doesn't point out that I'm asking a question. The Gra sides with positions based on readings of Gemara. There's a machlekes in Yerideya whether a Dover Gush is Mevashel, a Dover Gush is not Mevashel. If I have like a hot potato, right, does that cook? In terms of Hilchos Shabbos, that's a relevant question. In Basar B'chov, it's a relevant question. The Gra says, I have a Gemara that says that Dover Gush isn't. Right? Everything is from Raya's from the Gemara. Also, the Gra answers contradictions in the Shulchan Aruch just by saying, over here you go like this Rishon, over there you go like that Rishon. That is standard within the Gra. The Gra in Tafresh Mem Vav, in the Halachos of Dalan Minim, right, there's a huge contradiction between Sif Aleph and Sif Aleph and Beis on the one hand, and the rest of the Simen on the other hand, about a Hadas Sheniktam Roshav, you have Hadas at the top is chopped off. So the Gra writes, Aleph and Beis is the Rambam, Gimel, Dalan, Hei Vav Zayin Ches Tes Yod is the Tor. Shulchan Aruch, and this is a point that Isidore Twersky makes in his work on the Shulchan Aruch is not what you think it is. Shulchan Aruch is not there to give you like the baseball rule book, do this, don't do that. So often in Shulchan Aruch they have different opinions, no? Reb Yosef Karo isn't necessarily siding one way or the other. He is quoting Yesh Omrim, V'Yesh Omrim, no? Sometimes he does it in the same sif. And he says, this guy and this guy. And sometimes it's Aleph and Beis versus Gimel, Dal, Hei, Vav, etc. And the Gra points that out. And sometimes you have contradictions between Shulchan Aruch over here and Shulchan Aruch far over there. But this is the Rambam and that's the Ravid. Right?
It's just, the Mechaber is just quoting different shittos. That's what the Gra is doing. He's just giving you the sources. And by giving you the sources, you answer the contradictions. What do you do, Lamaisa? That's not the Gra's business. Or sometimes he'll tell you, V'chein Iker, because he has a Gemara that seems to imply one way. But these are the points that we wanted to make about the Gra. I think there is a lot more to say, but we're going to stop because we're running out of time. Next week, I think we'll give the last shiur on the Gra, and we'll speak about tefillah, about davening, according to the Gra. And that will lead us into the Baal HaTanya, who I'd like to spend a week or two on, and then I'll take a summer vacation. So thank you for coming and listening. Yashikavach.